Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Son of God. Will you pray with me, please? This is the Lord's word. And the Lord wants to speak to you this morning from his word. So would you pray right now? Would you pray that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes and help you to hear, understand, and respond to what the Lord wants to say to you today? Would you take a few moments now to pray for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes. That they would hear, understand, and respond to what the Lord wants to say to them today. Now would you take a few moments to pray for Brother Ben, that he would preach the Word of God accurately and therefore powerfully. May the words of Ben's mouth and the thoughts of his heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ben, come and be the vessel God will use to speak to the church. Children, you are dismissed to your church time program.
Okay, as you have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 9, I shared a little bit in the Sunday school hour. The Lord has used this passage through the years. Actually, when I was 17 and a counselor for the first time at a summer camp for what we called then junior age boys and girls, you know, grades 3, 4, 5, 6, I guess, up to teenagers anyway. We had to be 13 and up to go to the main summer camp, but some pastors decided, well, our younger children are missing out, so they decided to have a younger junior camp closer to home in the San Bernardino Mountains rather than all the way up by Yosemite. So they asked me to serve as a counselor. Well, the Lord had been trying to get me to surrender to his ministry, and I've been for about 6 weeks or so. Every message, every Sunday school lesson, every youth rally, anybody that was sharing God's word, it didn't matter what their topic was, it was God said, I want you to serve me, be obedient. And I kept asking everybody, from missionary friends to pastors and others, and well, how do you know God's, wanted you to be a missionary to Taiwan? I have a good friend that we just got reconnected with in Texas, Jack Bateman. He's a Texan Chinese and was a missionary in Taiwan for over 40 years. And one of the first times I met him, that happened to be that summer in 1965. And I was asking him, Brother Jack, how do you know that God called you to go to Taiwan as a missionary? Well, you just know. God will reveal it to you. Just pray what God wants you to do. Ask some of the guys in church, or one fellow in particular, he knew he was going to be a teacher. And we're still in high school. So how do you know, Gary, you're going to be a teacher? That God's not calling you to be a missionary or something like that? He says, no, he says, because I just know that's the abilities, that's the gift he's given me. And sure enough, he became a teacher. Another friend wanted to be an engineer and design race cars. And since junior high age, same thing. And he went on and became an engineer, and he worked actually on the space dials in the first early shuttles and different things in the 70s in Houston, worked with the astronauts and got to do some great things like that. And of course I asked the preachers, the same thing, but just for 6 weeks. So at that summer camp, I was asked to, each counselor every morning was to give the devotion for the service, the morning service, and mine was the last day of camp. And so I'm asking everybody, well, how do you know what to say? How do you know? Well, God will give you something to say. Just pray about it, study. well, you know, for somebody that's never done that, you know, and everything, well, okay. Well, 5 minutes before going in, I still did not know what I was going to say. And I was scared to death and nervous, and saw one of my little boys, I saw him come running out of the chapel and ran into our cabin. So I got to go see what's wrong with him. So I would go in there to get him. I don't even know what was happening, but he went to get something. So I was walking back with him, make sure he got in. And I had my Bible, and I opened up to Acts chapter 9. And I'm reading it, and I walked in. They had the song service, whatever was going on. And then I was to speak. And I opened this chapter, and I read this chapter. And if you're familiar with the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and I just spoke on it, and I don't know what I said. The Lord just did. He just took care of it. I just shared that we accept the Lord, you know, and God calls you, and we need to be obedient. And then I did something that I don't know, the Lord just did it. I gave the invitation. And the aisles were filled. And it wasn't me, it was the Lord. More kids were saved than were all week long. People were in the aisle repenting. Even pastors' wives and other workers, people are crying. We were just praising the Lord. Because for the first time, you know, I learned a lesson. Just trust the Lord. Be obedient. And the Lord's done that. That was in, like I said, 1965. And I went home and from the camp, and the youth director picked us up on the bus the next day, and he says, "Oh, I heard the Lord called you to preach." And I said, "Oh?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "The pastor said if you are going to, I don't know a better word, but surrender, then he says, come out early and meet with him in his office, and he'll counsel with you and pray with him what you need to do." Okay, so I went home and I just prayed about it that night and just. Okay, Lord, if that's what it is, this message has been nobody knows except me for 6 weeks. You've been saying this to me. Okay, that's what you want me to do. When I get up in the morning, I absolutely want to know, yes, that's what you want me to do. Didn't know if he was calling me to pastor, preach, what, you know, but I knew to preach, share his message, be in the ministry full time. That's what he was calling me to do. And, I slept great that night. Got up the next morning, and I knew. And so I went out, shared with the pastor, and then he had me come before the church. And then they're all, "Well, it's about time. You know, we've been praying for you." Seemed everybody knew but me. And so, again, a lesson learned, wise counsel. Listen to your elders in the Lord and trust God. So that's where we are. And Pastor read this passage, and you see that there's some people involved. But let me go back a little bit. The previous chapter is where it kind of all begins. In the previous chapters, actually, if you go 6, 7, 8, where Stephen ordained as a deacon, and he starts preaching, and he's there, and there's this man, young man, Saul of Tarsus, and he's holding the coats of those who are about to stone Stephen. But Saul hears that message. Stephen preaches to all of those Pharisees and elders and people of Israel, the leaders, saying, he is our Messiah, that Jesus is our Messiah. And he gives them a history lesson of their people and all up, and it's a great message. So if you get a chance to read that. But Saul is there. He is zealous, as he said, I was zealous for the Lord. I wanted to serve the Lord, and I know that these people of the way, the followers of Jesus, are false. And he was zealous after them, trying to earn his favor and his way to heaven by being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, being a doctor of the law, going boldly, going as he did on this trip, going even out of Jerusalem to go and drag back some Christians. And as he listened to that message from Stephen, God is planting the seed of what was going to take place. And so Stephen is used in his life. Then you see another man here, Philip, with the Ethiopian. And he's obedient to God. He goes. And he follows what God says to do. He's preaching a revival. You know, he was in Antioch, out of Jerusalem, going out of the box, and he's going to some Gentiles, and he's hearing. You know, Peter had been obedient to the Lord when he says, okay, there's a man that's a leader of the Romans, and he's praying, and I'm sending him a man named Peter to talk to him. He's sending for you. They're Gentiles, Lord. They're unclean, you know, and he gives him the sheet of food of all the unclean animals and stuff. And he says, no, I can't eat those. You know, you had us in the law not to eat that. He says, I created them. If I say they're clean, they're clean. Eat. Peter's obedient. He goes to Cornelius. He preaches to him. He witnesses to him. Explains Jesus. And his whole household and those soldiers and everyone is saved. And he baptizes them. They have the Holy Spirit come on upon them. And Peter's amazed. Goes back to Jerusalem to the other apostles and says, look, this is what Jesus is doing. God is working among the Gentiles as well. So Philip, he's down there in Antioch, and he's preaching, and he's having a big revival, preparing again the way God is working. Because he knows later, years later, he's going to send a man, two men, Barnabas and Saul, and they go to Antioch. You know, in that church in Antioch, it's where the Lord says they were first called Christians. So this man, Philip, was obedient, and he goes and he joins the chariot of the Ethiopian. And that Ethiopian treasurer went back to Ethiopia, and he spreads the gospel there because Philip shares Jesus with him. Unsung heroes is what Greg Glory calls them. Peter's the big, you know, leader. We hear about him. But it was Andrew, his brother, that brought him to the Lord. It's Andrew who brought the little boy with the fishes and the loaves that the Lord multiplied and gave. So Andrew, we don't know much about him outside of that. But he's obedient. So examples, again, of being obedient. And those are New Testament examples. Of course, there's many in the Old Testament as well. But this man here, Ananias, and I thought about this, again, if we look at verse 10, Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So again, God speaks to Saul. Saul recognizes him, asks what he must do, and he says, Well, go into the city, and then it'll be told to you. He's there. He's praying and fasting, just like he usually does. But this time, he's praying and knowing, waiting. But he's obedient. He's just waiting. But Ananias, then, God speaks to him, and he's obedient. He says, Here I am. I'm ready to be used, Lord. What do you want? And Jesus tells him, Okay, I want you to go into the city, go down there to this guy's house, Judas, on Straight Street. Go in. There's a man there waiting for you. He is seen in a vision, a man named Ananias coming. Now, if you know one thing about human nature, your own selves, reflect on it, we have choices to make. And I always wondered, and it really crystallized here this past couple of months in Texas, while rereading this, Ananias made a choice. He's saying, I'm here, Lord. He has no idea what God's going to do, what Jesus wants him to do. And as soon as he tells him what to do, he says, a man has seen in a vision, he's waiting for a man named Ananias. And I always thought, what would have happened if Ananias would have said no? If he would have been like Jonah and said no. You remember the story of Jonah? God called him to go preach to the Ninevites in Nineveh. And they, the Assyrians, are the enemies. And Jonah says, no way. I'm not going to go preach to them. Because he knows what God's going to do. He knows when he preaches God's word, they're going to hear and they're going to repent. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted, if God would have said, go down there and be like Elijah and bring down fire upon them, man, he would have went in a heartbeat. But he didn't want to. He says, no, I'm not going. And what's he do? He goes the opposite direction. And you know Jonah's story. And when he gets there, yes, he's obedient. He preaches, but what happens? They do repent. Jonah's not finished with God. He's angry. I knew this would happen. And he goes and sits down, and he says, and he's angry. And Lord, it was about getting a hold of Jonah's heart and being obedient. Completely obedient. Totally obedient. Not just partial. Yeah, he went and preached. You know, but he wasn't happy about it because he knew what God's going to do. Good possibility those people would repent. So here's Ananias, the same thing. Lord, do you know who this guy is? Like he has to tell Jesus who he is? Don't you know this is the guy that's persecuting not only in Jerusalem, and he's come here to get us? But he doesn't do that. He tells the Lord, don't you know? And he said, yes, Ananias. Now the Lord could have been like he does with Job. He doesn't have to give any explanations. But he answers Ananias and he says, yes, this Saul of Tarsus, But I've called him. He's going to be my chosen vessel. I'm going to use him. And he's going to suffer for my name's sake. But I'm going to use him. So Ananias is obedient. But I always wondered, if Ananias had not said, if he would have said, no, I'm not going, God must have had another Ananias waiting to go. Because he said, he told Saul, there's a man named Ananias that's coming. Now, our sovereign Lord knows all our hearts. He knows, and that's our theology debate, God knows who's going to be saved, who's not. But he is not, we are not robots. We have choices to make. So I really, truly believe Ananias could have said no. God knows he's not going to. But what if he had? There had to be another Ananias, in my thinking. Anyway, you can do with that whatever you want. But he was obedient. And that's what's beautiful. He just immediately, that solved it for him. He said, God, if you called him, great. And he gets up and he goes down there, pulls up to the house, walks in, sees him praying, sees him on his knees, sees him, not what he's expecting. He's going to go in, okay. But he goes in boldly, he goes in with confidence because he knows what Jesus told him. And that's what he wants us to do. Be obedient. Go boldly, sharing what God says to do. In his case, he said, go and explain to this guy what he's going to do. Now, obviously, Luke didn't give us all the details. He tells him, lays hands on him. He talks to him. The scales fall off. He baptizes him. They give him some food to eat. And what's Saul do? Starts preaching. And we know the end of the story of that. He goes on and he goes and the word goes all throughout the Roman world into Europe and comes to America and, all through because one man, Ananias, was faithful, obedient. He's going to have crowns in heaven. He's going to have rewards in heaven through the preaching of Paul. So we never know when God asks us to do something, what we're going to be a part of. It's going to be a part of something bigger. I had no clue at 17 years of age when I gave that little devotion and had the blessings of God and he worked in my life. I had no clue that I would go around the world to the Philippines and see boys and girls and people come to the Lord. And it's not me. It's the Lord. He used me despite me. And it's just a blessing. It's a blessing when two young ladies come up to Lillian and say, ma'am, do you remember us? We were your students in first and second grade when we first started a church and school in Quezon City. They're now the teachers in the school. Blessing. Had missionaries tell me, you are so blessed. I never thought about it like that. But they said, you are so blessed. Many of us, many missionaries, go for years on the mission field and never see the fruit. So you are blessed to see the fruit. I mean, that humbles you. You say, I'm not worthy. It's all Jesus. But Ananias, and Greg Laurie told this story. I heard it this morning, or last night, and then this morning again, preaching on this same passage, and he was talking about Stephen and Barnabas, and I'll share Barnabas in a minute, but Ananias, and they were unsung heroes in the life of Paul. Like I said, Stephen prepared, he heard the message. So when Jesus spoke to him, he responds. And when Ananias is obedient, and Saul responds. So they had a part in his life. Barnabas, I won't read it now because of time's sake, but if you continue over here in chapter 26, when verse 26, he goes to Jerusalem. They get him out of Damascus because people are going to try to stone him and stuff. And he goes, Barnabas takes him to meet the apostles. Barnabas is there, and they're all scared. Well, this is Saul of Tarsus. Is it really true? But Barnabas speaks up. Hear his testimony, what God has done. So Barnabas befriends him, and that's where they become friends, and then later used. So God is working. But Greg Laurie said there was a shoe salesman named Edward Kimball. And this is in Boston. And you'll know the story in a minute when I reveal to you the name. But this man, Kimball, had a young salesman working with him that he... Kimball is a Sunday school teacher, and he's sharing the gospel with this young salesman, and his name's Dwight, and he leads him to the Lord. Dwight is responsive to the word, and we know him today as D.L. Moody. His name's Dwight Moody. Forget what his middle name is. But D.L. Moody, of course, went on to be a great evangelist. But this man, Kimball, was like Ananias. He led him to the Lord. But he's going to be blessed through Moody's ministry. But the story doesn't end there. Moody goes on and he preaches, and there's another minister, another person that begins to preach. And Wilbur Chapman. And he hears the message. And he witnesses and is instrumental of a young man named Billy, who is a baseball player. And a notorious person, if you know the life of Billy Sunday. But this man led him to the Lord. Billy Sunday goes on in the early part of the 1900s, becomes an evangelist. He goes to a town in the mountains near in North Carolina, Charlotte. He holds a big tent revival meeting there. The leaders of the town want him to come back and hold another one and be there longer. But Billy Sunday, the schedule, he could not be. And I don't know if he recommended him or not, but there was another evangelist, Mordecai Ham, that the leaders came and got, because they wanted to hear more about the Lord. And Mordecai Ham comes and preaches, and a young dairy farmer who, by the way, also wanted to be a baseball player. His name is Billy Frank. And he walks the aisle and is saved. And we know him today as Billy Graham. And the Lord just keeps blessing. How many years? Over 100 years from one man's testimony. This Ed Campbell to Dwight Moody. And that's what God does. That's what God does with each of us. So just think about when we're obedient, when we don't want to be obedient, when we don't want to teach that Sunday school class, or we don't want to speak to somebody, or even just invite them to church. We need to be obedient. And God uses all of us. And we never know what the end result's going to be and the blessings that we may miss if we're not obedient. So if we're obedient, God is going to bless us. So this man, Ananias, was obedient. Saul is obedient, becomes the Apostle Paul. So that's the challenge in each of our lives today. Are we obedient to God? And I hope these examples, and even I was just blessed because I had the Old Testament examples and then the New Testament, and then I was just blessed last night, and I said, wow, I wonder if Greg Laurie preached on this, because he has archives. It goes back to like the year 2000 on all the messages anybody preaches in his church, his associate pastors, their Bible studies on Wednesdays. And Greg Laurie was preaching in Orange County, and he preached, actually in 2008, he preached his sermon about the conversion of Paul. And then he had the one in 2010 about the unsung heroes. And so I listened to that and got the modern day example of Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody. So God is still on the throne. He's working. And we never know what God's going to do. But we can trust Him and we can be obedient to His Word. So I challenge you this morning to look to the Lord. If He's asking you to do something, maybe even something you've never done before, like I did with that devotional. But when you're obedient, maybe God's going to do something. We need Sunday school teachers for the children and the youth, junior hires. We need youth leaders to help Mike. We need a college leader. Mike is going to be doing junior high and high school, but we need somebody to step up for the college career age people. We've got a number of them in our congregation. We need a teacher for them. We need a leader for them. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe some other ministry that you could be used. Be obedient to the Lord. Let Him speak to your heart. And that's the message today. Brother Carey.